Now, I want y'all to know that word that I spoke to you, that was not anything I made up. Those thoughts had never come to my mind all day. So that's the Holy Ghost. So grab hold of that. Grab hold of it. Amen? Well, glory. Again, we have another Wednesday night that I feel like we already had church. Praise the Lord forevermore. If you weren't receiving during that time, there's something really, really wrong with you. You need to go to Freedom Prayer. Start out there. But let me share a word with you tonight. So get your Bibles out. Go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8. Now, I don't know, most of y'all, you may be just like me, tomorrow night, New Year's Eve, you may go to bed at your regular time, and others of you may stay up to watch the ball drop and shoot fireworks off, or you may just stay up all night, I don't know. But I don't think so in this crowd of people. I think most of us will. If you want to watch the ball drop, you'll record it and look at it in the morning. Thank God for that TiVo or whatever you call it. But I want to share something with you about just a conversation I had with the Lord. And about 2016, okay? And I'm just going to let you in on how my conversation went with the Lord about 2016, okay? He says there's a few things you got to remember in 2016, Robert. He said, number one is, I'm still on the throne. You know, number two is, my kingdom has an eternal reign. You know, number three is, I hadn't left you. You know, you ever have those times you think about it, you ever kind of had to stop and say, Lord, you're still here, right? In other words, the Lord was reaffirming to me all the things that we already know in the Word to be true, that nothing's changed. God has times and God has seasons of things that He does in people's lives, but when we as Christians live a steady course of walking with Him, daily seeking Him, daily wanting to hear His wisdom, daily wanting to feel His presence daily, wanting to, you know, follow Him, nothing's really going to change. Just think about it, church. You got to remember, Jesus went and He laid hands on the sick people and they were instantaneously healed, right? We're all in agreement on that? That's what the Bible says. But yet, there was nobody that stood up for Him when they took Him to the cross. Jesus told a whole group of people one day, He said, look, all of y'all are all over here. You've come across the sea and you're here. You're not here because you're hungry. You're just here because you saw signs and wonders and you want to see something else. That's the only reason why you're here. Do you realize that revival, in the sense that we've always maybe portrayed it in our mind, could be a break and a move of the Spirit of God upon the face of the earth and people see all kinds of amazing things take place, but yet there's still going to be people who are not going to receive the gospel. There's still going to be mockers. There's still going to be, sign seekers. It's nothing's changed. All right? And you got to understand something. When 2016 comes, and let's just say some major event happens, are you going to quit reading your Bible? You know, are you going to quit doing what you've been doing from the day that you knew that you knew that you knew that you knew that Jesus was real? You know, we're not going to change anything. I'm not going to change. I'm going to get up every morning and read my scriptures and drink my coffee and talk to the Lord just like I have no matter what's going on. If there's an angel standing outside waiting for me, he can wait. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is that God is a God who wants to develop relationships, and just because something happens or just because something takes place, It's not going to change our relationship. It shouldn't. Are y'all with me? Let's just say, I'm not predicting this. I'm not predicting this at all, okay? Let's just say that the U.S. went broke. Everything just went upside down. And next thing you know, in 6 months, we became a third world country. There was no difference in the United States and Mexico. Are you still not going to get up and read your Bible? Are you still not going to get up and pray? Are you still not going to just continue to do the things that God's always spoke to you to do? Right? We're going to live our lives on. We're going to go on no matter what, because that's what makes us Christians. You with me? All the other things going on, all the election coming up, all the this and all the that, you know? I mean, bar a zombie apocalypse where you have to be watching when you walk outside so you don't get eaten, you know? I mean, nothing's really going to change in my relationship with the Lord. You with me? And the zombies can wait outside till I get through in the morning drinking my coffee and reading my Bible. And if I don't have any coffee, I'll be new area of faith. I'll be believing God for some. Are y'all with me? All I'm saying to you is that the word that I have tonight to speak to you and what I feel in my heart from my conversations from the Lord is, Robert, just keep putting one foot in the other. Stay the course. Just keep going. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Don't worry about what's going to go on. I've lived, I'm prepared. I'm prepared for anything. I'm prepared for, doesn't make any difference what. And that's the attitude we have to go in on this New Year's Eve of coming into 2016, is not one of fear, but one of faith. Amen? And so Proverbs 8 says this, verse 1, "Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the door. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, make an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips." Now, he's saying wisdom's crying out. Wisdom is always crying out. Listen to me, no matter what situation you get into, I want you to understand wisdom, godly wisdom, is crying out to you. But are we going to hear it? There's always an answer to whatever the situation may be that you're confronted with in life. There is always wisdom crying out and a godly answer for that. You just have to find it. Right? What I love about that is that gives me great confidence to know, oh, how he loves me. And when I wake up in the morning, wisdom's crying out to me. And all I got to do is get on that path and hear wisdom. Follow godly wisdom, because it's there. It's there no matter what's going on. No matter what happens, I don't have to worry about, look down the road, oh God, I got to know what's going to happen in 6 months. I don't have to know what's going to happen in 6 months. In 6 months, wisdom's still going to be crying out. Today, wisdom's crying out. Tomorrow, wisdom's going to be crying out. The next day, wisdom's going to be crying out. All I have to do is learn to hear wisdom. Right? That's all I got to learn to do. Because if you can hear wisdom, that means every morning you wake up, you know, the mercies of the Lord are fresh and new every morning, right? And so every morning when you wake up, boom, wisdom's there. You just got to hear it. No matter what's going on, you just got to hear it. You just got to learn to train your spirit to hear the voice of wisdom. And it's always going to cry out. It's never going to stop. It's been crying out forever and it'll never quit. Listen, there's only one place I can find where the Bible talks about, and there was silence in heaven, and we're already there by then. Are y'all with me? There's only one time it says that there's silence in heaven, nothing speaking. But I'm already there. So I'll just stand there silent in the crowd. Right? So whatever future, whatever comes in the future, we just have to approach it in faith. We have to approach it with both feet in there and say, well, Lord, you know, whatever. I'm just going to listen to your wisdom. Now, let's read on about wisdom here. This is verse 8. All the words of my mouth are righteous. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They were all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instructions and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things one may desire cannot compare with her. All things you may desire can't compare with wisdom. Now here's a scripture that I have quoted, oh my gosh, my entire Christian life. This scripture came alive to me years ago, and I always laughed about it. But anyway, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. And the Lord gave me that years ago, and I was like, Lord, this is really like kind of a complex scripture. Can I have something simpler? Can't you give me something that, because I don't even really know if I know what prudence means. Prudence, I just thought she's an old prude. Meant somebody looked like they were sucking on a lemon, you know, or something, you know. That's what I was thinking. But I, wisdom, listen to this. I, wisdom, he's saying, I, wisdom, I dwell, my buddy's prudence. All right? And so if you look up the Hebrew word for prudence that's translated right there, it comes up, and it's interesting, because the word means, it truly means shrewdness, craftiness, or prudence. In other words, you got to understand something about godly wisdom. Have y'all noticed this? God doesn't always do things that to us make sense. Like I said Sunday, save the world with a baby? I mean, that don't make no sense to me. God does things all the time that to our wisdom, our knowledge, it doesn't make sense. And he's saying, look, my wisdom is shrewd. My wisdom is crafty. In other words, I am so much smarter than everybody else. You've got to understand that I'm going to make this work out. And you may not see it, but you got to trust me. So you got to understand something about wisdom. If you're going to look for wisdom, it may not be in the form that you think it is in. Right? Because he says, man, I'm crafty. How many of you have, you know, whatever, had an instance in your life, or you've prayed about something, or you've been, you know, believing God for something, and then God does something, and you're like, oh, I did never see it that was going to work that way. Right? Something happens and, you know, and then you're like, you know, it's like Naaman the leper, right? When he went and he said, what do we mean come out here and you just say, yeah, go home, you know, go wash in the water, go wash in the Jordan seven times, you'll be healed. And he said, what do you mean? I wanted you to come out in some big fluff and blowing smoke, and I wanted to see some thunder and some words and some fire. I wanted to see something. And you're just going to tell me to go out there and dip in the water seven times? Right? He got mad and was going to leave. But see, wisdom spoke. But was he going to do it? See, that's what you got to watch for in life. God may say something in wisdom, and you're like, what? All of us have a testimony of us hearing the voice of the Holy Ghost tell us to do something, and we didn't do it. Or to pick something up in your house, or to take something with you, and you didn't do it, and then you got down the road and you needed it. Every one of us, we've all done it a zillion times. And we're like, ah, well, I'm not ever going to do that again. And then we do it again, and then we're like, ah. So you just hope that they're getting fewer and farther between, right? That's grace. But that's how wisdom works. You see what I'm saying? When he says he's shrewd and he's crafty, he's like saying, you need to take this with you today. And you're like, what do I want that for? And you don't do it. And then you needed it. And then you're like, ah. That's what he's talking about. That's what I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I, wisdom, I dwell in these things that you don't really maybe understand, but you need to trust me. So if you want to walk in wisdom, the way you're going to walk in wisdom is you're going to have to learn that you have to trust him in his voice and what he said to you, and then walk in it. And the more you do, the more victory you're going to have. I can tell y'all in 22 years of pastoring this church that I have walked to this pulpit many a night and just literally had to trust that the anointing of God was going to give me something to say, because I didn't have anything to say when I got to the steps. But after so many years of just seeing God faithful and seeing faithful and what he does and understanding the gifts and the things that he wants to do in our life, I have to realize sometimes, you know, God just, he's just God. He just wants to do things like that sometimes. He just wants to do things like that. He says, I, wisdom, dwell the prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. You got to understand something. The wisdom of God always spoken to you may not be something that's to be shared everywhere. It's the way he works. He says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, I find out knowledge, and I have discretion. So, now think about it this way. Wisdom's crying out. But he said, look, I am going to be, you know, I'm not just up there, you know, I'm just not up there just saying everything that comes from the throne of God to you. I'm using discretion in even what I'm telling you. How many of you know that if you knew what was going to go on, if you look back at your life and look at your life today, if you knew what would have happened, you'd have done something different, or you'd have got off the road? I mean, I guarantee you I would have. As a young man, if God would have told me I was going to be a preacher, man, I'd have run. Right? So what I'm saying to you is, even the wisdom that you're going to get, you're not going to get something that's going to, oh my God, I've got this wisdom and I don't know what to do with it. No, God, he has discretion in what he's going to share with you and what he's going to give you, so that you're not going to freak out. You're going to be able to cope with today. All right? He goes on and he says, then, 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth. Now, just listen to what this says. He's telling you what the fear of the Lord is. You say, well, I don't know if I'm as good as so-and-so. I don't know if I'm doing right. I don't know if, you know, I don't know if I'm praying enough. I don't know if, you know, I'm pleasing the Lord enough. I don't know if I'm doing this right. I don't know. Whoa. Let's just back up. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is, I mean, let me just ask you, I mean, do you hate evil? I mean, inside of your heart, when you see horrible things going on, I mean, do you hate it? Well, if you do, that's part of the fear of the Lord. All right? I mean, I think sometimes we as Christians, we judge ourselves too harshly. I think we don't depend enough on the grace of God. And we think that we're going to elevate ourselves to a position that, you know, we're really good. And then if you don't watch it, then all you're doing is looking at somebody else and saying, oh gosh, look what they did, you know, and I should be doing these. I should have done this, right? I should have done that. Or maybe I can do better. I could do and the point is here is what I'm trying to say is, well, wait a minute, we didn't get saved by works. We got saved by grace and faith. So if you want to just find out, just ask yourself the question, do you hate evil? I mean, when you think about this, folks, listen to me. There's, you know, in Guatemala, they were shutting down rings of people who were stealing kids off the street and then stealing their organs and selling them over into Europe. Now, I can't understand that. I mean, evil. You with me? I mean, I may have thought about beating somebody up, beat them with a stick, beat them with a rubber hose, beat them with a wet rope. Y'all with me? And I'm thinking, oh, that's bad. I shouldn't even think that. But let me tell you, when you think about evil, there is some wicked, horrible things going on in the world. All right? And you should when you come across that, you should, if you're inside of you, you hate evil, hey, you got a part here of the fear of the Lord. Goes on and he says, pride. Hating pride. Arrogance and the evil way. I mean, you know, you just got to ask yourself these questions. How does it strike you? The perverse mouth I hate. You know, I actually think that's why we get so mad at our government officials. Because talk about perverse mouth. I'll say one thing out of one side of the mouth and something else out of the other, and that just irritates me to no end. Why can't somebody just tell the truth? That's what he's talking about. All right? He says, then he goes on and he says, so if you've got, if you hate evil, pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the perverse mouth, I hate, then you're walking in the fear of the Lord. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding and I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles and all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me. That's why I was so excited about that song tonight, Timothy, because that was the scripture I knew that was in her. I love those who love me, and that's what we're singing tonight. And glory to God. And those who seek me diligently will find me. That's not going to change next year. Riches and honor are with me, and enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasures. How many of you want your bank accounts just to get filled up? For no apparent reason, the bank just calls you and said, look, we're going to have to do something about one of your accounts. We're only insured to $250,000 in their account, and you have more than that. And you say, what? You say what? And they say, yes, for some reason there's been a, you know, your bank account has $300,000 in it. That's not $50,000 of that's not insured. You need to open up another bank account and put that other $50 in there. I mean, that's good problems, right? Those are good problems. But he says that's what he wants to do. He may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasures. Do you love Jesus? Well, then his attitude towards you is he wants to fill your treasures. I like that. I like knowing my daddy's attitude towards me is he just wants to bless me and fill my treasures. I like that. I don't want to think that. I don't want to have to go through the thought process of saying, I wonder if he's mad at me today or whatever. I just like to know that when I wake up in the morning, he loves me and he wants to fill my treasures. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before the works of old. I have been established from everlasting in the beginning before there was ever an earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth, and when there was no fountains abiding in the water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet I had not made the earth or the field or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew the circle around the face of the deep and established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he assigned the sea its limits so that the water should not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside myself and as a master craftsman and as I delighted daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instructions and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Oh, I love this one. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Folks, I want to tell you something. You may know some important people in life. You may have some great favor and places here on earth, but I am so glad to be able to tell you tonight that if you love Jesus, you walk with him, desire to be with him, God favors you. You have favor in heaven, and I'm telling you, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. If you got favor in heaven, whoo, man. God's sitting on this and saying, man, I just want favor, Bruce. I really like Bruce. I just want to do him a favor. Wow, talk about, you know, eye opening. I just favored Dixie. I just really like her. I just want to do something good for Dixie today because I just favor her. Or he looks down and says, wait a minute. That's It's one of mine. Make blessed in Jesus' name. No, people can't do that. Are y'all with me? The favor of the Lord. Whoever finds me finds life. And then he obtains, it's yours, the favor of the Lord. So folks, listen to me. The one thing I can encourage you about this new year is walk into it, your head held high, both feet forward. Walk into it, say, man, I don't really know what's coming, but it don't make any difference because I'm highly favored in heaven. God favors me. I no matter what comes up, man, I know God's with me because wisdom is crying out to me, and I'm just going to hear the voice of wisdom. I'm walking in the fear of the Lord because I hate all this wickedness. And so, Lord, I think you got everything under control. So just keep the boat sailing on down, and we're going to be okay. Amen? So look at the person beside you and say, you know, you're going to be okay. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Amen? So, Bill, let's take up our offering tonight. If anybody needs an offering envelope. Levanto su mano. Well, praise God. So put your hand on your offering, Father. I just declare it tonight in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that we got it all made in 2016, Lord, because you're with us. I think you said that you desire to fill our treasures. And so, Lord, I just declare over each person tonight that, Lord, you bless them in every business adventure they're in, every financial situation that they're in. God, you bless them. And you are crying out with wisdom for everything for us to do. So, Lord, I thank you for it. And I praise you for it. And I ask you just to bless them tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Good news I got to tell you is my wife's coming home Saturday. So, glory to God from on high. I didn't rearrange the furniture. I left it alone. I moved the one lamp that I don't like. But other than that, I've washed the dishes. I've done the clothes. I vacuumed the floor this morning. I'm going to have a talk with her. She's got this demon-possessed vacuum cleaner. Every time I get my hands on this thing, somehow another tries to pinch me or bite me or slap me with the cord. Man, I almost kicked it outside and shot it this morning, man. I'll tell you that thing. We're going to have a talk with that. I don't have to go buy my own. So praise God. Stand to your feet. Grab the person's hand beside you. Now, Lord, as we leave this building tonight, I declare we are so blessed and we're just so grateful to you, Lord. We're so grateful, so grateful. And I just ask you, Lord God, to just pour out upon each and every one of us that amazing grace, Lord. And so, Lord, I thank you tonight. We want to hear the voice of wisdom, and I declare we're going to hear it. We're going to walk in it in 2016. We're going to be blessed and highly favored, and we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.